If there's one speech that got everyone talking in 2026 so far, it was definitely the speech of Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney at Davos in January. The headlines were all about his rousing thoughts on how middle powers like Canada and Australia should respond to the system of intensifying great power rivalry that faces the world today. But along the way, there was also this.
In 1978, the Czech dissident Václav Havel, later president, wrote an essay called The Power of the Powerless. And in it, he asked a simple question: how did the communist system sustain itself? And his answer began with a greengrocer. Every morning, this shopkeeper places a sign in his window: workers of the world unite. He doesn't believe it. No one does. But he places the sign anyway to avoid trouble, to signal compliance. And because every shopkeeper on every street does the same, the system persists. Not through violence alone, but through the participation of ordinary people in rituals they privately know to be false. Havel called this living within a lie.
Carney's references to Havel's essay prompted Australian Catholic University Professor of History Darius von Guttner to write about the power of the powerless in The Conversation recently, where he described Havel's essay as eerily relevant today. Darius von Guttner, welcome back to Sunday Extra.
Thank you for having me.
Could we begin by hearing a little bit of the context of the publication of The Power of the Powerless, an 80-page essay produced by then-dissident Václav Havel? What was going on in Czechoslovakia at the time?
We are talking about 1978. On the other side of the Iron Curtain, where there was a certain stench of decay of the Soviet Empire. And this was the Soviet Empire under Brezhnev that was ready to intervene in Afghanistan. This was a Soviet Union that was observing a dissident movement happening across the countries that bordered them to the West. In Poland, you had a growing movement about the workers and intellectuals questioning the oppression of intelligentsia, oppression of the worker. You had Havel and his compatriots working in Czechoslovakia on ideas of individual freedoms, on the responsibility of individual and responsibility of state. You had people in Hungary questioning the oppression, again, of the single party system. So this is the world where things are being questioned.
And as Mark Carney recounted, Havel's essay is built around this figure of the hypothetical greengrocer. What did Havel say about the greengrocer, and how did he sort of weave it into his political theory?
The example is very symbolic. It's also emblematic of a power of an individual to start a movement that would unravel the system. Of course, we kind of think that this is just the shop like we know in the West, but this is the shop in probably some sort of collectivized system. This is the shop that at the same time carries items of propaganda, a poster about workers of the world uniting. And I think this is Havel's point, that this greengrocer supposedly have a choice to put the poster up, to be part of the system. And the suggestion is quite powerful here, that this singular greengrocer, by the action of bringing that poster up, of showing it to the public, this decision has a power here, that greengrocer is given the power to start disobedience by essentially saying, well, okay, I'm not going to hang it up. I'm not going to display this. And Havel plays in this essay on that kind of concept of living in the truth and living in the falsehood. It is a brilliant, it's absolutely brilliant example, yet it is in itself quite dangerous. You know, I lived on the other side of the Iron Curtain. For me, as a kid on that screen, looking at that greengrocer and those posters, I remember those days. So when I looked at the quotes and then commentary across the world about Carney's words, that was very significant for me, because I immediately recognized the beauty of this poet crafting this piece of work, working on that whole intellectual side of it, and then thinking about that greengrocer and, you know, the difference between the two sides of the same coin, and then the slow impact of what Havel suggested, taking hold of people in East Central Europe.
Do you have a recollection of when you first encountered the essay and the impact it had on you?
I do. I encountered this essay in a refugee camp not far away from Rome in Latina. A group of people much older than me were sharing a printout of it and were talking about it. So my first encounter was a teenager that was listening to others talking about it and a debate that unfolded about the, you know, the virtues of intellectuals coming up with ideas like that and the reality of those people that have to go to work. And perhaps that had the biggest impact. People that were discussing it were, a couple of them were, you know, university professors, intellectuals, and others were people from a very much that working class that was supposed to be united or uniting. And they were, in fact, uniting in that refugee camp, waiting for the visa and permit to travel to the United States, to Canada, to Australia.
Do you recall where the refugees were from?
I think it was refugees from Czechoslovakia. There were people from Hungary. There were Polish people. And I think there was someone from Vietnam. So in fact, it was a group of people that had a lived experience of living under totalitarian communist system.
And in what capacity were you there, Darius?
As one of the refugee kids.
And so what was your personal pathway out of that refugee camp?
Well, I came to Australia. So that was as a teenager, I came here. Yes.
Amazing. On Sunday Extra, we are speaking with Professor Darius von Guttner about his essay about an essay, Václav Havel's essay, The Power of the Powerless, published in 1978. And Darius, what's interesting looking at the 1978 essay of Havel is that he doesn't just say that this idea of living in the lie is limited to the Eastern Bloc as we understood it then. He diagnosed it as something that existed in the West as well.
Yes, because I know that this essay can be misread and often is misread, in fact, as a celebration of this heroic descent or moral exceptionalism. In fact, I think Havel himself is rather skeptical of heroics, and he pushes the line in his essay, the power of the powerless does not lie in spectacle, in numbers, in immediate success. He goes to say that it lies in an example, and that truth operates politically not because it commands obedience, but because it awakens recognition. And in a way, this is where Havel moves into so-called hidden sphere of social consciousness, and he kind of talks about, you would say, half-suppressed awareness that life is organized around falsehoods. And when it's organized around falsehoods, it is corrosive and is degrading. Now, we know that, as you suggested, that it goes beyond just the Soviet-dominated East Central Europe. This argument extends beyond that, because Havel's, I think, was very conscious of this, that what he was saying is going to be unsettling for the audiences beyond the Iron Curtain. He warned that what we can expect in this post-totalitarian society will be also unsettling to those that are perhaps elected leaders in democracies, elected leaders where capitalism operates as an economic system. He was suggesting that comfort cannot be purchased at the price of indifference, and that freedom cannot be also reduced just to private consumption, detached from public responsibility. And this resonates with us today in the world that we live in. It was perhaps a recognition that there is a tendency among modern humans to do a bit of a moral outsourcing and quiet complicity. So away from being a citizen, more towards being a consumer that is complicit in existence of the system.
In your essay, you write that what really matters, according to Havel, is the slow reconstruction of moral agency, that a decision to live in the truth somehow spreads and creates the preconditions for a bigger change. What does Havel say about how exactly it does spread from one person's decision to others and what that means for the practice of politics?
Well, he was saying about the power of powerless. The power of powerless lies in an example. Power is an example of another person acting. If we look at the mechanics of revolution, where the ideas come into conflict with realities of a daily existence, they produce a spark. They produce a spark, the spark where change is possible. It's not yet there, but it is possible. It is possible when people noticing other people behaving differently. That human example is infectious, that others follow, maybe not immediately, maybe just gradually. The individual is able and empowered to change the system by refusing to obey the ritual of it. And I think word inspiring is good here, but it's not really as a spark of inspiration. This is the notice that there is another way of doing things. The essay shows us the contradiction in the system that living in the truth is not that far away. And living in the truth, you can have it internalized inside of you, but your example is making it public. Then your living in the truth becomes an example that others can follow, that others will draw on.
And that's why writing about the Prague Spring, for example, and the protests in 1968, Havel says this should actually not be understood as an event in itself, but as the final act. And he says the inevitable consequence of a long drama originally played out chiefly in the theatre of the spirit and the conscience of society. Having heard that, Darius, what did you make of Mark Carney's reinvocation of the power of the powerless as a useful thought for considering the role of middle powers in the current disintegrating global order?
I don't think Mark Carney was a poet in the same way as Václav Havel was. The political arena now is not one party state. The argument perhaps that Carney was trying to make was that political leaders, that institution, continue to speak the language of the rules and shared norms and ideas, but at the same time, tolerating practices that hollow those norms out. That, in fact, the international system exists because we acknowledge it exists. But if we just look into it, it is living in the lie that some of people that supposedly supported the international system have already gave it up, that they are still using the language of it, but it is a hollow language of diplomacy, that economic coercion becomes routine. I mean, he did not explain why exactly he used Havel as a metaphor. He simply used those words. Now, he didn't provide an extended 80-page commentary to his speech, but perhaps we live in a lie of that international system of norm because it's a comfortable space to be. And I think in a way, that speech gave the springboard for Carney to kind of to consider this. You know, if we pay lip service to something that doesn't exist, this is the living in the lie. In Havel terms, this is not simply about rules being broken, but that everyone continues to behave as if those rules were still functioned as agreed.
Darius, what sort of impact did Havel's essay, The Power of the Powerless, have when it was published in 1978?
Two answers, none and quite a lot. I heard a number of intellectuals of a generation of my grandparents listening to or sharing that essay and talking about ideas in it. And some of them said, well, that's brilliant, you know, let's have another glass of wine. Because that is the immediate impact of an essay that appears as a contraband in a system that does not allow it for its publication in a public domain. In the long term, in the long run, it became a standard of freedom of thought. So I think that it's important to acknowledge that those kind of intellectual pursuits in a system like this did not immediately reach that greengrocer. That greengrocer probably would have laughed it off, saying, oh, this is wonderful, a brilliant set of words, and then what? I can't eat that essay. I still need to go to work. I still need to feed my family. At the same time, within years, that slogan, power of powerless, became a phrase used to indicate that everyone within that system has a role, that everyone can show the bravery of disobeying the routine of a totalitarian regime. And while some people, as I said before, would say that it had no impact whatsoever on the daily routine of workers that supposedly were uniting in a queue, standing for food that was scarce, on the other hand, it was necessary that society needed an intellectual that had a freedom inside their own mind to create a work like this, to create an essay that was suggesting that everyone has the role, but everyone can play that role according to their own choice.
It certainly is a powerful and thought-provoking essay to read even in 2026. And your reflections on it in the conversation were equally thought-provoking. It's been great discussing it with you. Darius von Goodner, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Darius is Professor of History at the Australian Catholic University, and his essay in the conversation is Václav Havel's 1978, The Power of the Powerless, is eerily relevant today.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.